Good morning, this is Larry Phillips, and it's the 29th of September 2016. And this morning I want to talk about a subject that you rarely hear talked about in Christian circles, and that is the subject of doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. You know, where does our faith originate from? We've talked about this many, many times. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, there's no doubt that if anyone has any faith, any assurance, any confidence that they are one of God's people, that faith comes from God. If anyone believes that Jesus Christ died for their sins and rose again for them according to the scriptures, that faith has been given to them. It's a gift. Matthew 13:58 says, "He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Where did those people get this unbelief? They certainly didn't get it from Christ, did they? Unbelief does not come from Christ. Being doubtful of the Word of God does not come from Christ. Matthew 17:20, Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be moved, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and earth. He created the mountains. He created the earth in 6 days, 24-hour days. Morning and the evening were the first day, not thousands and thousands or millions and millions of years. A lot of people doubt the six-day literal account of creation found in the Bible. A lot of people doubt a lot of things that the Bible explicitly says that Christ did. His miracles, the virgin birth, the crossing of the Red Sea, and on and on and on. Mark 9:24, "And straightway the father of the child cried and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." We all have doubts. We all lack faith at times. But our prayer should not be, "I hope I'm one of his." Our prayer should be, "Lord, help thou my unbelief." Mark 16:14, "Afterward he appeared unto 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." Here we have an account that Jesus is taking to task the disciples for not believing people who said they had seen him. Have you seen Christ? Have you seen the marvelous works? Do you believe the accounts of Christ himself, that he took your sin upon himself? Do you believe that you're chosen in him from the foundation of the world? Well, there's a lot of people that say they could never say that. Isn't that interesting? Romans 3:3, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" You know? No, just because other people go about in doubt and unbelief, it doesn't make God's faith without effect. It doesn't make his faith without effect at all. Romans 4:20, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. We should give all glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the wonderful work he has done for us. You know, in Hebrews 3:12, we're told, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." You know, unbelief is the opposite of faith. Unbelief is the opposite or the antithesis of faith. By faith, we have the 11th chapter of the faith chapter, but we see that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 3:19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews 4:6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Let us labor therefore to enter into rest, lest any man fall of that same example of unbelief. So the question that I have for you this morning is, are you believing? Are you unbelieving? Are you with faith? Are you without faith? Are you a doubter that Christ did the things that he said he did in his word? You know, there's an interesting thing. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy 28:66, and it says, "And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life." Is that you this morning? Does doubt hang before thee? Do you have fear day and night? You have no assurance of your life? Well, you know, we have many, many wonderful promises in the Word of God, what Christ has done for his people. We have many, many assurances. We've gone over this many times. Matthew 14:31, he says, "Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now we know that, again, unbelief is the opposite of faith. Faith comes from God. Unbelief does not come from, in other words, unbelief, a lot of people want to say that unbelief is a good thing. No, unbelief is not a good thing, not according to the Bible here. You know, Matthew 21:21, Jesus answered and said, "Then verily, verily, I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." There's always doubters around that want to cast aspersions on the Word of God. There's always those who want to mock the works of Christ and to not attribute those works to themselves. Matthew 28:17, "And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." But some doubted. Well, he says in the 17th chapter of Luke, 29th verse, "Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. You know, the disciples tried to say that God was causing their doubt. Christ was causing their doubt. You know, we have two natures. It talks about in the Bible many times about the spirit and the flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. John 24, he says, then came the Jews round about him and said to him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Tell us plainly. You know, here Christ had revealed himself in miracles and signs and all kind of things. And he had been very plain about who he was, you know. It goes back to ABCs, you know. I heard Brother Raines say at a Bible conference recently, he says, the gospel is as simple as ABC. The problem is most people are DEF, deaf. They do not understand the gospel because they have no spiritual life within them. And so this is something for us to think about this morning, is that, you know, we all have problems. Romans 14:1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Okay? Christ says that if anything that is not of faith is of sin, anything that is not of faith, anything that, you know, that is rooted and grounded in unbelieving the Word of God is sin. You know, Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. A lot of people seem to be rooted and grounded in doubt and unbelief. It seems to be one of their capstones of their theology, is doubt and unbelief. I think that that is sad when we have those who have the Word of God. They have been amongst those who have taught the truth of His Word and proclaimed His promises, and they have many, many wonderful passages like Romans 8 says nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, these are the things that we have Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, I may win Christ. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Without wrath and doubting. Don't doubt. You know, it's amazing. We've heard the scripture, I've heard this scripture used so many ways, but think about it in a little different way in context. 1 John 2:9, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. You know, unbelief and doubt is a thing that is not, it's, in other words, it's according to the Bible. If it is not rooted and grounded in faith, it's sin. It's sin. And so we should look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Look to Jesus, who said it is finished, it is complete. Look to Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. Look to Jesus, who said, come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Only Christ can grant unto us faith and take away our unbelief and take away the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. Only Christ can do it. You know, we can't do anything of ourselves. All faith and assurance and confidence in His Word comes from Christ Himself. And there's no value in casting aspersions on God's Word. There's no value in that. And so, you know, it's amazing. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. You know, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, we know that Abram looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And, you know, there's a lot of people that say, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels will beckon me through heaven's open door. I don't feel at home in this world anymore. But do you feel at home with the Word of God? Do you ascribe to what the Word of God says, is the question. Well, we desire a better country that is a heavenly. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You know, Abram accounted God was able to raise up Isaac from the dead. You know, he says that Moses, of course, chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. A lot of people are fearing the wrath of the king, and they are not trusting in their God. David trusted in his God. you know, it says that these people of faith, they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent to fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Of these all, having obtained the good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better things for us, for they without us should not be made perfect. Well, what does he say next? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sins which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, you know, I'm glad that we have these great and special promises that have been given to us. You know, I'm glad that we can lay hold upon Christ, because Christ has laid hold upon us. We can lay hold upon his promises because God has given us the faith to lay hold upon them. You know? And so this is something that... let's go to verse 28 of 11. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Think about that. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I hope that this has caused us to think about this morning the fact that faith and belief is given to us by God to lay hold and embrace his word and his promises on his completed work. May God be with you this day, is my prayer. According to his will, be it done. Amen.